What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to an episode of Tunde Speaks. I'm your host, Tunde, and I'm sure some of you are wondering, you know, where have I been? I've had some changes. This show used to be called Faith Talk, but I decided to change it to Tunde Speaks. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time I, you know, recorded an episode was back in 2020. So I just want to take this time to kind of fill you all in on, you know, where I've been and what's been going on in my life. So first, right off the bat, of course, I'm sure we can all relate to this, but COVID happened. Kind of had to navigate and get through that like everyone else. When I was doing the podcast, I was still in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Was there, you know, with my then wife. And we took a leap of faith. You know, I feel like the Lord was leading, you know, us to Dallas. And so in July of 2020, we moved to Dallas. Again, completely off a leap of faith. You know, we had no jobs lined up. All we had was that stimulus check, you know, sold some things, rented that U-Haul, loaded our stuff, and just moved. And yeah, it definitely was not without difficulty. At that time I was newly married. It was year one, first year of being married. Went all the way from, you know, first being in Chicago, then Grand Rapids, you know, for only a year, and then, you know, moving to Dallas. And this was right in, I mean, COVID was still fresh. You know, this was July. So what, COVID started in March. So you got April, May, June, July. So yeah, like good 3 or so months in. And so, yeah, it wasn't without difficulty. Came here and, you know, I felt that this was something that the Lord wanted me to do. And of course, you know, I still believe that. I'm still here, but it definitely was not easy. You know, started to go through just some rough, you know, some bumps in the road, you know, in my marriage. You know, I had my own, not only addictions I was struggling with, but also I was recovering, you know, and I kind of still am, you know, I'm recovering from depression. You know, I was depressed, and I think it's because I felt that I wasn't living out my purpose in life. I wasn't, you know, fulfilling my calling in life. And I also did not have, you know, I had low self-esteem, didn't have self-love. And that found its way, you know, into my marriage. It ended up hurting my marriage. I'm just going to be completely transparent and just put this all out there. You know, not only did I have a sugar issue, you know, a sugar addiction, but I also had, you know, a struggle with pornography. And that really affected the way that I looked at my wife, how I viewed my wife, how I viewed the relationship. It affected my daily routine. You know, it affected my motivation, my desire to do things. You know, me being a creative, being someone who does music, you know, at the time I was, you know, running a videography business. I was, you know, trying to shoot weddings and music videos, and, you know, I was finding a lot of difficulty. For any creatives out there, you already know how cutthroat the industry is, you know, and how hard it is for you to, get to that point where you reach that momentum and you're able to, you know, be constantly booking clients. It's a tough industry, you know, it's really tough. And, you know, even if you're good, it's still hard for you to, you know, really, really get to that point. But at the time, that's what I was also doing. But at the same time, you know, again, the addiction and the trauma and me feeling hurt, you know, it really, really affected the way that I treated myself and my wife. And honestly, man, when I talk about self-love, I have to say this. One thing I learned is that, man, if you can't love yourself, it's going to be hard for you to love anybody else. And if your cup isn't full, you know, it's going to be hard for you to fill other people's cup, you know. And I found a lot of those issues, you know, while we were married. And, you know, it definitely it was tough. It was tough. And there was a lot of times where, I started at that same time to question my relationship with God and question if he really cared. And, you know, one thing that I do, part of my therapy, is I write it out in music. I have a lot of music I'll be releasing very soon that also kind of talks about that period that I went through. But I started to really question the church. And, this is in the span of, this is from about 2020 up until 2022, and at that point, my then wife, we decided to, it was time for us to just part ways. We decided to divorce. And as you hear it all the time, nobody expects and nobody plans for divorce. And we definitely did not. The plan was, hey, we're in this forever, we felt that it was a God thing at that time. But we came to realize, we were two people who still had issues. We were two people who really weren't married. We were two people who really weren't ready for marriage. And to go even further, I think we were two people who didn't have the tools. We weren't prepared for what comes with marriage. There's things that I didn't realize that I really should have had a better handle on before getting married. One being financial literacy. I made so many poor choices and decisions, while being married, in terms when it came to spending. And also, I think on a more emotional and mental note, knowing myself, for any newlyweds out there, or anyone thinking about being married, or anyone, who's single right now, and you are, being single with the intent to eventually be married, the biggest advice that I can give you, because hindsight truly is 2020, but the biggest advice I could give you is know thyself. And when I say that, I mean really take the time in your singleness to really understand who you are as a person and what you want in a relationship, what you're looking for in a potential spouse or partner. It's okay to have standards. It's okay to have, for lack of a better word, a list of what you want in a relationship. A lot of times I think people, get into relationships and aren't honest with themselves, about what they want. And a lot of times we settle, for a lot of reasons that could be attributed to a multitude of things, not wanting to be lonely or things that are stemming from childhood, a need for validation or a need for acceptance or codependency, there's a lot of reasons that we'll get into relationships. And the other thing, I can't speak for everyone else in this particular situation, but for myself, being a male, and I'm sure a lot of guys out there can relate to this, but we see beauty first, and I found myself in a lot of situations, operating based on how beautiful the woman was, and that would kind of cloud my judgment, and I would ignore certain red flags. And sometimes red flags aren't necessarily things that translate as, oh, this is toxic. Red flags are just like, hey, maybe this isn't right for you, or maybe this might be a problem for you in the relationship later. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that person themselves are like toxic, although there are those situations. There are people out there, you get in relationships and you knew the red flags and you knew like, yo, this isn't gonna work for me. This is like super like dangerous type red flags. And again, for whatever reason, we ignore these signs. But that's the biggest advice I can really give is, man, know thyself. Be intentional about what you want. Don't settle. Communication, huge. You know, you hear it all the time. People always say it all the time. I remember people, before I got married, people would always say, I'd ask people when I was Uber driving, hey, you know, since you're married, like, what's some advice you can give me? The first thing they always say is communication. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's easy. You know, a man, let me tell you, you'd be surprised, you know, how much communication can hurt a relationship, especially if you're in a relationship with someone where it's hard for them to communicate. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, definitely know yourself. And definitely take that time in your singleness to really develop yourself, understand yourself, love yourself. And I'm only speaking from my own experience. But yeah, that's one thing that happened. And, you know, after the divorce, you know, which one thing about divorce is, man, let me tell you, y'all, let me tell you something. It's kind of like Chris Rock said, if you ever seen Chris Rock's tambourine, you know, he goes, divorce, man, you don't want no parts of this, man. And he's correct. You know, I mean, it's by the grace of God that I got through it. But let me tell you, divorce is not a fun process to go through. At least for me, I fell into a deeper depression after my divorce. And you have to understand, like, I was already kind of going through depression while married. We were going through financial hardships while married. I had my addictions while married that I was dealing with. And then we got divorced. I helped her move out. And it's just me, you know, after being with this person 3 years, I'm back to being single again. And you know, one thing about sometimes being in a relationship is, if you didn't do that work while single, you can lose yourself. You know, while you're married, you can forget who you are. And then once you're single again, you don't know what to do with yourself. You know, and I wasn't in community. You know, we weren't in community while married, and that also hurt the marriage. And my advice to couples, listen, get around community, especially when you're going through stuff. Don't wait till everything's good to be in community with people. Do not wait until things are good and bills are paid and you're both happy. No, no, no. Get around community when things are going really bad. Because that's one thing I could say, you know, maybe things would have been different. Maybe if we were. But anyway, while I was in this space, when she's out of the apartment now at this point, and I'm just depressed, you know, I'm talking about depressed to the point where it was hard sometimes to even get up and have the motivation to go and work that day. You know, sometimes when you're depressed, you make some really unwise decisions. And again, mind you, we were already suffering financially, struggling. And after she, you know, moved out, I was still dealing with this unhappiness within me. You know, it wasn't just about a broken marriage and feeling like a failure and feeling like, man, like, what was it all for? And, you know, why did God bring us together if we were just going to divorce? You know, I was already going through a lot of things internally. And so it just translated to me basically for a good 3 months, just being depressed. Literally, I was eating crap. I was eating, you know, cereal every day and ice cream and sugary foods. And to the point where I was starting to sleep a lot during the day. You know, I'd wake up, you know, eat crap, just watch TV, fall asleep, wake up from being asleep, just feeling terrible, feeling awful. Trying to find a way to cope, trying to find a way to numb myself. I'd go watch pornography, you know, and I was just killing myself and I was so unhappy and I had a lot of aggression and, you know, I started trying to find ways to channel that aggression. I'd hit the bag sometimes, but I wasn't working out as consistently as I could have been. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, y'all. It was real bad. And at one point, you know, when I finally tried to get that motivation to go back and work, you know, I started to try to do Uber because, again, at this point, you know, my freelance business was suffering. You know, I didn't even have the motivation. I lost my spark to even continue that. You know, the only thing I could say that prevailed throughout was me still being able to do music. For whatever reason, like, I still tried to find time to do music. One thing that kind of really, 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 one of the lowest points was when my car broke down. you know, there's this one day I was like, you know what, I'm behind, I need to go start doing Uber again. I'm dropping off this couple to the airport and my car just starts jerking and shaking. So bad to the point where I had to literally drop them off, not at their destination, and they had to get their own Uber, another Uber, and my car was pretty much, I was stuck in this parking lot by the DFW airport for a good 12 hours before a tow truck could come. And I remember that day, I let the Lord have it. I just said, man, like, Lord, like, because you have to remember, I came here because God told me to come here. And, you know, when we hear from God and he tells us something, we're excited. We're like, oh, man, like, this is awesome. Like, I know what God wants me to do. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be good. You know what I'm saying? It's only sunshines and rainbows from this point. Ain't no stopping us now. We on the move, you know? It doesn't translate that might not be the case. I mean, if you look at scripture, you can find examples in the Bible of people who were moving by God, but it did not come with ease. I mean, Paul is a great example of that. Here's a man who moved by God. He went to go spread the gospel, but here's a guy who literally, I mean, he ended up in prison, you know? I'm sure he never anticipated that. I'm sure he never anticipated being physically attacked, you know, in the name of, you know, for Jesus's sake, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I mean, for me, I never anticipated that. So here I am in my car, just like, God, like, I did everything I feel you told me to do. Why are all these things happening to me? Why am I going through this? And I just got angry. And I said, Lord, what do you want from me? You know, and I screamed it. I was fed up. It was one of the lowest points of my life, literally in that car, in the Texas heat, just sitting there for 12 hours until a tow truck could come and get me. And that wasn't the last time my car broke down. It broke down a second time that same month at Walmart. I had to wait another 8 hours for the tow truck to come. It got so bad I was having to like borrow money from close friends. You know, it was, oh, let me tell you, it was one of the lowest points. And what I can honestly say is that what got me through that was going back to church, finding a men's group. Let me tell you, people, especially the men out there, because the suicide rate, you know, is predominantly men. But if I could tell men anything, listen, forget all of that garbage about masculinity and manning up when it comes to your feelings and burying your feelings. That's killing us. My advice to you, get around a group of men. There's something, get around community, period. There is something to be said. There is something to be said about being in a room and hearing somebody who's going through the exact same thing that you're going through. All of a sudden, your problem feels a little bit smaller. Facts. That's no cap. Because for me, unbeknownst to me, I would find another male in my men's group who was also going through divorce. And we became friends, you know, and he helped me get through, you know, all of those men in there helped me get through what I was going through. They're just pouring into me and speaking to me and giving me advice and reconnecting me back to the Lord, you know. And that's part of what helped me get through. Slowly but surely, you know, I've been trying to shake off, you know, the sugar thing. What has also been helping me is, you know, just cutting that pornography loose, putting the internet filters on the phone, having accountability partners who can check me. You know, they know what I've been on. You know, they know if, you know, they can see everything I go on my internet, you know, on my computer, on my phone. You know, accountability, huge. Get accountability. Fellas, ladies, get accountability. If you're struggling with something, get accountability. Trust me, you're not that strong, because that's how we are. We'll be like, you know, I can do this. I can beat this. But no, you can't, you know, not by yourself. So get accountability. But yeah, the other thing that I started to go through as well, obviously my money wasn't right. So I took a financial hit so bad that I was facing eviction. You know, if I can't count the number of notice to vacates that I got between July of 22 right up until now, I mean, man, must have been at least 5 or 6 notices to vacate. I applied for Texas rent relief. I applied the day they reopened it. And 2 months later, they told me, you know, they were out of funding. And it was by the grace of God, reached out to one of the friends I made in my men's group. Incidentally, you know, he had some extra rooms in his house that he's renting. And so that's where I'm going to be moving, you know. And again, that's a God thing, you know, it's by the grace of God, you know, but there's something to that too, you know, because through all that I was going through, when I thought God didn't care, when I thought he wasn't with me, he was. I have to mention this. When I was really in it last year, for the first time in my life, thoughts of suicide occurred to me. I never attempted it. I never planned it. But the furthest it went was asking the question in my mind, maybe what if the world was a better place, or what if life was better without me around to live it? And that's as far as it went, but it occurred to me, you know. And around that time, I was also still grieving my relationship, missing my ex, wishing I could have had another chance, you know, wishing we could have fought for our marriage, you know, wishing we could have did things differently than we did, reaching out to her and dealing with my own issues, you know, things that she would say that would trigger issues that I had not dealt with, that, you know, really are rooted back in my childhood, you know, issues of rejection and things like that, you know, father issues, you know. I was dealing with that. But again, I say all this to say that through all of this, God has still been with me. You know, he's still been with me, and I'm here today, and, you know, we're going to keep it moving. And so that's what's been going on in Tunde's life. And, you know, that's why I'm just getting back to recording podcasts again and doing content. And you know, I've got some music coming out. Really excited for this summer. You know, I really want to give you guys a feel on, you know, who I am and what I do and what I believe. I did some soul searching and things like that and figuring out, you know, what direction I wanted to head in. I decided to, you know, to reconstruct this podcast. And that's why it's now called Tunde Speaks. And in this podcast, again, I'm going to be talking about faith, music, popular culture. And I know this was a long one, but I just want to end it with this. If you guys are blessed by this content, if you guys are interested in those topics that I mentioned, why don't you do me a huge favor? Subscribe to my podcast. It was $4.99 a month. Subscribing members will get access to bonus content that I post, as well as early access to my episodes when they drop. So yeah, do me a favor, click on that button. I'm going to provide a link in the description to this podcast. Go ahead and click on that link, subscribe to my podcast. Your support would be much appreciated, and it's your support that will help this platform grow. So please do get on that. I look forward to this journey with y'all. Just stay tuned for some really good content, some exciting stuff. It's going to be good. And that's it for this episode. Till next time. Peace.